Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Chapter 7 deals with marriage. Chapter 8, with eating, our diet. These are some of the most basic and practical of all human items. Yet as he begins this fellowship on eating in chapter 8, he inserts a wonderful and very spiritual phrase. Listen to the first verse of chapter 8. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Building up, a theme that runs throughout this book, and a very important theme for all of us as God's people to understand. Bob Denker has joined us today as we focus on the puffing up knowledge and the building up love. Welcome back, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris. This is a marvelous beginning to this chapter. Apparently, Paul is going to talk about whether it's right or wrong to eat meat sacrificed to idols. But the way he begins the chapter, speaking about knowledge puffing us up and love building up, indicates that he has something much deeper and much more intrinsic in his heart that he wants to convey to the Corinthians.
Really so. Let's talk about this puffing up knowledge and building up love. We're going to be on this in the first segment, but as a bit of a backdrop. Of course, we've seen before the Corinthian believers had a lot of knowledge, didn't they? They were people with a high degree of education, very cultured, very philosophical, things we've touched upon already. But Paul is contrasting these two things, and it's not the only place in Scripture where these two items are contrasted, is it?
That's right, Chris. As we'll see even in Brother Lee's speaking later on, knowledge, if we go all the way back to the beginning, we can see that knowledge is mentioned first in Genesis chapter 2 related to the tree of knowledge. And love is not explicitly mentioned in that place in Genesis, but life is mentioned, the tree of life. Love is related to life. Love is the expression of life. So when we begin to speak about these two matters, we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and we touch God's eternal purpose and something very, very crucial to our Christian life.
Building up, as we said a moment ago in our introduction, is a theme not only of 1 Corinthians, certainly it's a theme of all of Paul's writings, and very much we could say it's a theme of the entire Bible, isn't it?
That's right. The goal of the whole Bible is to produce a building. In the New Testament, this building is the church as the body of Christ. In the book of Revelation, this building consummates in the New Jerusalem.
Bob, would you take just a moment before we join Witness Lee? I know you have some expertise in language related to the Bible. The difference between the word building up and edifying, would you touch that briefly? I think it would be helpful before we get into Witness Lee's portion.
Well, Chris, as far as I know, the matter of edifying really relates to helping individuals. It's an individual matter. It's a matter of individual believers. But building up in the Scriptures always is a corporate matter. To be built up with others is something that's corporate. And building up, of course, is always done by the growth in life. When we supply life to others, when we minister the divine life, when we minister Christ as life to one another, then we build up not only the individual in the way of edifying, but we build up the corporate body of Christ.
So a particular practice or a word or a verse might be very edifying to me personally today, and that's good. But the matter of being built up with others corporately into this corporate expression is really the focus of what's on Paul's heart, isn't it?
That's right, Chris.
All right, let's join Witness Lee, Bob, and then we'll get a chance to come back to these points.
After the dealing with the marriage, he comes to a more practical thing in our daily life, that is our eating. Verse 1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Here, in these two matters, the puffing up knowledge and the building up love. These refer to the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Knowledge refers to the tree of knowledge. Love refers to the tree of life. Actually, I do believe when Paul wrote this epistle, he surely had the knowledge of those two trees. In this book, you must see these two trees are illustrated without mentioning them. Actually, what this book deals with are just those two trees. The tree of life that supplies people with life, and the tree of knowledge that kills people. In this book, you could see these two lines. There's one line of life that supplies people, and there's another line of knowledge that kills people. Knowledge puffs up. That means it kills. But love builds up. This means it supplies people with life. Building is by life, and life is for building.
Bob, I love the topic in this first segment today. We touched it in the introduction. You brought it out in your opening comments. And that is to see not just Paul solving problems, these gigantic problems that had consumed this church in Corinth, but this matter of he uses every opportunity, doesn't he, to bring us back to these contrast between these two lines that run through the Bible, as Witness Lee just said, one line of life that supplies and one line of knowledge that kills.
That's right, Chris. Actually, in the entire book, you can see these two lines. The Corinthians obviously were on the line of knowledge.
Yeah.
They were Greeks who prized or valued very highly philosophical knowledge, and they lived by that knowledge. But as God said in Genesis 2, if we live by knowledge, the result will be death, right? If man would eat of the tree of knowledge, he would die. That means not only physically he would die, but spiritually.
Yeah, spiritual
he would
death.
Suffer spiritual death. But Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, it's obvious that Paul was on another line. That is the line of life. And he was doing his best to bring the Corinthians from the line of knowledge to the line of life. Because life builds up. Life issues in the building up of all God's people to be one corporate entity, one corporate expression of
yeah.
God, which is God's goal in his economy. It's the goal of the entire Bible. So Paul is on the line of life, which is the line of the tree of life, which builds up. The Corinthians are on the line of knowledge, which kills and obviously tears down. So Paul here is laboring to bring these Corinthians to the line of life.
And even in the early chapters, I recall Paul was working to bring them into an intimate kind of fellowship with the Lord, surely something on the line of life. Then in these middle chapters where he seems to be dealing more practically with the problems, still even his this picture we saw of him last Friday, for those who were with us in the program, we saw in chapter 7 as Paul is dealing with his big matter of marriage, what we really see is a person who has a living that is just one life. Two persons living one life, he and the Lord. So even to the point that Paul's opinions expressed the Lord's feeling, there is a demonstration of the line of life. And now here again, as he touches this matter of eating and how this can be a problem among the various groups in the church, Paul again, very focused, very pointed in directing them back to the line of life.
That's right, Chris. We can see here, as you mentioned, life causes us to be one with God and one with all of God's people. This is building. But knowledge causes us to be independent of God and divided from one another. This is the effect of the tree of knowledge.
Let's go on, Bob. The next couple of verses in chapter 8 continue on this very same line. Verse 2 and 3, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he has not yet come to know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Oh, Brother Paul, what a brother.
Tremendous.
Let's go back to another what a brother. Here's Witness Lee.
Verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by God. Why Paul all of a sudden inserts such a verse here? This indicates, Corinthians, you don't need that much knowledge. You don't need to know this and that, but you need to love God. To love God is a base of our Christian life. Knowledge is just the air. It vanishes, it disappears. To love God is solid, is the base, is the very standing of your Christian life. If you do love God, God knows you. Actually, you don't need to know God that much, but you need to be known by God. Here, such a word know means a lot. Means what? Means owned by God, possessed by God. It means you become God's possession, and you become God's joy, and you become God's entertainment. You become God's pleasure. What you know, that doesn't please God. But if you love Him, you please God. God knows you. God is happy about you. God is enjoying you. All these are implied here. In other words, you Corinthian believers have to realize God is not so present with you. God doesn't know you. Quite strange, right? God doesn't know you means God doesn't approve your way. You are not approved. You know, in Matthew 25, when the Lord Jesus comes back, many will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, I've done this, that. The Lord said to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. How could the omnipotent, omnipresent Lord doesn't know you and me? He knows everything about us. But one day the Lord will say to some of the believers, I never knew you. That means what? I never approve what you have done. I never was happy with you. I never take you as my pleasure, as my joy. I never take you as my treasure. This is all implied in this word, known by God.
Bob, he began this section by asking the rhetorical question, why did Paul insert this word in verse 3 about being known by God? Here the Corinthians were occupied with what they know. But he's telling them that maybe is not so important. What is important is being known by God, and there's a lot implied in this word, isn't there?
There sure is. Actually, the Corinthians wanted to know whether it was right or wrong to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul was telling them, this is not really the basis of your Christian life, whether something is right or wrong, whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. The real basis for our Christian life should be our loving God.
Yeah.
Whatever we know is just something in the air. It's not solid. But if we love God, then we have a solid base and standing for our entire Christian life. The more we love God, the more we will live a life in union with God, a life that is one with God, a life that pleases God and brings joy and pleasure to God's heart. The more we try to live by the knowledge of right and wrong or good and evil or philosophical knowledge, any kind of knowledge, this will cause us to be a stranger to God in a real sense. Although God knows all of us, in one sense, He doesn't know us because we are strangers to Him. We're living in a way that causes us to be estranged or cut off from God. Only love can unite us with God and can cause us to live a life according to God's heart and His desire,
right,
which
right.
pleases Him, which gives Him pleasure and causes Him to approve of us. So again, Paul is trying to get the Corinthians away from the tree of knowledge onto the tree of life.
And to be known by him, this kind of expanded aspect that he brought out toward the end here, to be known by God, which means to be, you know, really united with him in this love relationship, puts us in the category of being pleasing to God, right? We are, in a sense, we become his pleasure. In one point, he actually said his enjoyment, his God's recreation is the believers whom he knows in this kind of intimate way.
This is a kind of a delight, Chris. It's a delightful thing. Anyone who loves God and lives a life of loving God and loving God's children, the other brothers and sisters in Christ, will live a life that is a great delight and pleasure to God. Otherwise, if we live by knowledge, then we would not be known. We would not be approved by God.
Yeah. All right, now in our final segment, Bob, let's come back to the practical issue that Paul is dealing with. Again, you mentioned earlier this matter of whether or not to eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. That's the so-called question on the table here. But the guiding principles we're going to see, and it comes out, I think, in a couple of verses I selected to read, verse 9 and verse 13, is that Paul really isn't interested in giving them a right or wrong answer to their question, but he's really showing them a principle here that flows right out of this loving union with God, meaning that we now care about what God cares about. Okay, let's listen to verses 9 and 13. But beware lest somehow this right of yours become a stumbling block to the weak ones. And the right there means their right, so-called right, to eat whatever, since God had now cleansed all the foods. Verse 13, therefore, if food stumbles my brother, I shall by no means eat meat forever, that I may not stumble my brother. Wonderful. All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Try to get into the spirit of Paul in writing this chapter. Paul's spirit is altogether for Christ and all the members of his body. He didn't instruct in a way that the sacrifice to idols are good or are not bad. You eat it, whether that is right or that is not right. He doesn't say anything in such a view. Rather, his view is Christ. How this matter is related to Christ. Not only Christ, but also his members. How this will affect the members of Christ. How this will build up them or snare them. Stumble them. You see, what is within the heart and the spirit and his entire being is Christ and his members. He doesn't care for the idols. He doesn't care for the sacrifices to the idols. He doesn't care. He said, idols are nothing. Of course, sacrifice idols are more than nothing. He implies a kind of view that when you talk about eating certain things, you have to take care of Christ. You have to take care of the members of Christ, the members for whom Christ died. You have to consider this kind of doing of yours edifies, builds up, or not. You see the point? Paul answers the questions and gives the instructions all together from a view of Christ and of his members. In chapter 8, you could see Paul never deviated from the central line. He tries his best to bring the questioning people back to the central line. That is Christ and his members. Christ and the body. It's very good.
Bob, in Acts, we see the Lord cleansed all of the formerly unclean things in Peter's vision, where the sheet was lowered and all of the unclean animals were cleansed and the Lord told Peter he could eat. Now the question comes to Paul, should we eat these things or should we not? Because it bothers some, and what should we do? What should we do? Paul did not give them the kind of answer they were expecting, did he?
He certainly didn't. They were looking for an answer, yea or nay, yes or no, good or bad. But Paul's, I like the word Witness Lee used here, his view.
Yeah.
That means his perspective in approaching this matter was absolutely not in the realm of good and bad, right and wrong. It was absolutely with a view of Christ and the members of Christ. In verse 12, Paul says, if you wound your brother's conscience by eating improperly, you sin against Christ.
Wow.
Then Paul said, so if my eating would stumble my brother, I'll never eat meat again forever. So not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of taking care of Christ, doing what is pleasing and approved by him, and also taking care of the members of Christ, that is, the believers in Christ. If we do everything in love to please the Lord and to build up his body by building up our brothers and sisters, not doing anything that will cause them to be offended in their conscience or to stumble in any way, then we have the right view. If we are in the realm of right and wrong, we are wrong in our very viewpoint. God is not on that line.
He just isn't there.
He's not there. He's on the line of life which builds up his body.
This is so contrary to our natural approach. We just desperately desire the kind of manual that tells us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and it would be so easy. But the Lord, he just doesn't take that way, because that way is on this other line. But to have this view, as you said, this governing view, not according to what's right or wrong, not according to the personal liberty that Paul had, because as he said, all things are lawful for me. I can do anything and not offend my own conscience. But what if it offends my brother? What if it stumbles him?
That is the governing principle, and this is where Paul is. Paul is in this realm, the realm where God is, the realm of love, of life, and of building up. Everything, his whole being is absolutely occupied with Christ and the members of Christ, that is, with the body of Christ.
I think a good time to remind our listeners that what we're doing here each day, Bob, is a life study. It's not just a mere study of the Bible, is it?
That's right. We should never consider the Bible as an answer book. It tells me what's right and what's wrong.
Well, our time is up. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.